Don't it feel good to be back in church? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. I tell you what, sometimes we need to understand some hardships. We haven't went through things like a lot of people in the world has, and sometimes you don't recognize, and I don't recognize and realize what's truly important to us when it's tried to be taken away from us. And so we need to be very appreciative, amen, very thankful, because there's a lot of people who would love to be in the house of the Lord this morning, and they can't. Either they don't have the freedom, they don't have the opportunity, either health or a location, whatever it might be. So we're very blessed, amen, very blessed. I want to wish all the mothers happy Mother's Day. Let's stand and honor the mothers, gentlemen. Come on, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Thank you so much, men. I tell you, we wouldn't be what we are today if it hadn't been for a mother in our life, amen? And so, ladies, we appreciate you so very much, you know, and there's so many ways. You're not just limited to be a mother in the physical. You're spiritually the most powerful women that's been in my life. They weren't blood related, but they were Christ blood related. Amen. And they've impacted my life tremendously. And so, ladies, you're a surrogate, and the Bible tells you that your role is greater than. I think that you understand the impact sometimes. I know that the more that I look at where Paul admonished all the ladies to be the influencer, to touch and to grow up the next generation. That's a mother. That's what you do. And so we're so grateful and so thankful for that. I've got a lot of stuff on my heart. So you pray for me that I stay out of the way and don't just let the Lord say what He would have to say. So it's my prayer that the greatest asset that the Lord gives me, I don't let it become my greatest enemy, because sometimes I have overload. And so I think today is very important, very, very critical in what's happening. This is no accident, because you and I choose to follow God. God's involved in our lives. And this opening on Mother's Day, reopening, this has a spiritual connection. It's a connotation of what's happening. The church reopening on Mother's Day is a sign to the church. See, the church is always in Scripture feminine. Okay, we're the bride of Christ. We're the church of the living God. And you and I, we're to birth, to bring forth the plan and the will of God. And reopening on Mother's Day is significant. Now, we've been talking about an awakening. We've been talking about a revival. But the Holy Ghost told me, he said, would you stop talking about it and just believe for it? I don't get up every day praying for my salvation, waiting for it to manifest. It manifested when I called upon the name of the Lord. Revival, awakening, is not something we're looking for. It's here. Amen? Amen? It's here. And so we just need to trust God for it. And so I want you to think about this just for a minute. Bear with me. We're 28 days hence Passover, Easter. 28 days, according to how you count, the way I count it. So that means eternal life here on Mother's Day. Eve, the mother of all living. We're 22 days from Pentecost. Pentecost, 22 days, light. It's time for the light to shine like never before. Amen? And God is ready to show out, and signs and wonders is getting ready to happen. Amen? And you and I have got to be willing. Now, in my heart, I've been talking about it, but I want us to make sure that we understand, so you'll be prepared. What's going to happen is God is going to save somebody that you and I would never dream that He would save. And when He saves them, it's going to cause a rejoicing among some people. Some people's not going to understand it. And then God is going to use that same person to bring in somebody else that other people don't even want them to be saved. Come on now. It's going to happen. And so we're going to look at Scripture today and document that. And I want you to take that truth home with you. And I want you to remember that we've got to be faithful to God outside the city. Outside the church of God, outside the city, we've got to be faithful. But as we're going through the city, through the plan of God and the will of God, we've got to keep the objective of God. The objective is Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. That's your purpose. That's my purpose. Nothing else matters. And we reach them by first taking care of their physical needs, and then Jesus meets their spiritual needs. Amen? Because we're on our way to the true city. Amen. Open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. And we'll start reading in verse number 1. Luke chapter 19, verse 1. Are you there?
Yes.
Amen. We've preached on this many times, but this is just a little different direction this morning. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now mark that down in your mind's eye. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and he could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before, and he climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up, and he saw him. And he said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, now remember verse number 7, we'll look at it in a moment's time. I want you to mark the they down. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he is gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. Verse 8, and Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is coming to seek and to save that which was lost. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they, now hold this down in your mind's eye, because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, as I said just a moment ago, it's my heart's desire to open my mouth and you fill it. Lord, I don't want to overcomplicate things, and I don't want to get in your way, but I ask right now that you speak through me, that you cause each and every one of us to hear by the Spirit of the living God. Get us in the place and the position, Lord, priority position, yes, priority position of the things and the will of God. Lord, we thank you for it. Let it be that each one of us sees our role, our responsibility, and our reward. Thank you, Jesus. Each one of us sees our role, our responsibility, and our reward, and we'll walk in it. We give you praise. We ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus, and we all say,
Amen,
amen and amen. Hallelujah. Glory. Okay, I'm going to try to stay up here. I'm supposed to. In these verses of Scripture, I want you to notice that Jesus, he enters in and passes through Jericho. Now, Jericho is the lowest place in this vicinity. It's the lowest place on earth. It's 826 feet below sea level. And so I want you to see the spiritual connotation of it. Jesus, he will go to where you're at. He'll go to where I'm at. When I'm at my lowest, it's not lower than where Jesus Christ can meet that need. Amen? So he goes to Jericho. Jericho means fragrant. It's the city of palms. And if you look through your Bible, and I know that you have, there's so many things that has happened in Jericho. You had the children of Israel crossing over the river Jordan, and they coming into the city of Jericho, and it fell because God said it would. And so they trusted in their man-made walls, and they trusted in all of these things, but Jericho fell. And so I want you to know that no matter how high the wall is around the lost out there, it's going to fall in the name of Jesus. Amen? Because Jesus is going to go to the lowest part of their heart, the deepest, dire circumstance of their life, and he's going to meet their need. Amen? This is a fact. And so I want you to think about how Elijah went up in a whirlwind here in this same place. Elisha healed the waters. What I'm here to tell you is it's all a type of what Jesus has done. Jesus, He walked this earth and He finished the will and the work of the Father and He ascended on high, but He healed the waters. Come on now. You and I, we're the waters. The healing of Jesus Christ, when He saves you, you are the healed of the Lord. So let's look at some things to help us to understand. First of all, as you and I, as we're on our way to that true city, onward to that true city, we've got to make sure that there's some things that God wants us to do outside of these four walls, outside of the church normal. We've got to get out of religion and get into the reality of what God would have us to do. And so let's back up just a little bit. Go with me to the 18th chapter, starting at verse number 35, and let's see what Jesus did outside the city. Luke 18:35, "And it came to pass that as He, Jesus, was come nigh unto Jericho, that a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging." Now, we don't know the age of this man, and you can't, the word man is not in there, it's just the blind was begging. And so I want you to think about this for a minute. We're in a generation right now that Paul wrote about in his epistle to Timothy, that you can read about where Solomon wrote in the book of Proverbs. There is a generation right now that does not know God. There's a generation that is blinded. There's a generation that is looking for some help. Say, "I'm the helper." Come on, because you got the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the helper. He's in you, so you are the helper. Amen? And so there is a generation that's lost and undone on this Mother's Day, this day of this reopening, this day that we come to an understanding that we are to birth the things of God. Amen? And so here it is. Jesus, He's walking into this city, and He's coming to this blind man. We've got to recognize and realize that Jesus wants us to go where the need is. He wants us to know that there's going to be times and situations, yes, where people are saved or rededicated at these altars, but more times than not, you and I, we're going to have to get outside of our pond and get into the river of God, get into the reservoir that will meet the needs. And so Jesus goes here, and look what it says. It says in verse 36, "And hearing the multitude pass by, He asked what it meant." Verse 37, "And they told Him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by." Now, I want you to get this in your heart. See, the devil takes and he tries to bind the people of God, because you and I, we sit back and we think somebody else is more qualified. We think somebody else can do the job. No, you are the person of the hour. This is your moment. Say, "This is my moment." Amen, it is. No doubt about it. Because I want you to see, they told Him, "This is Jesus of Nazareth." Now, that's not a full revelation. They told Him what they knew. You and I today, I can't tell them what some big name preacher knows, because I don't know what he knows. I haven't experienced what he or she has experienced. But I do know what I have experienced. You know what you have experienced. Amen? And so you and I have got to be in a place and a position that we know that we're never going to be able to tell them all about Jesus. He's too big. He's too wonderful. He's too amazing. But tell them what you know. Now, here's the key. When you've got somebody who's blinded, you've got somebody who is in a place where they have no way of meeting their needs. Come on. This man, he had on a beggar cloth. He had no way. He depended upon somebody else. But when they told him the commotion that was going on was that of Jesus, what happened? The Holy Ghost. See, the Holy Ghost is always working in somebody's life before you ever speak to them. So the Holy Ghost is done speaking to this man. And then when they tell him who Jesus is, look what happens. "And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by." Notice this, verse 38. "And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." Now, they didn't tell him this was the son of David. They told him this was Jesus. See, I can't tell you everything about Jesus, but I can tell you what I know. And then when I tell you what I know, the Holy Ghost will bear witness with what I told you and will come into your spirit and bring a deeper revelation where you can what? You can see Jesus in a way that you never saw him before. So he went from seeing Jesus of Nazareth to seeing Jesus as thou Son of David, the covenant anointed Messiah. Amen? Now think about this, because somebody told him. Somebody out there this morning, they're asking questions. And God's asking you and I, will we be the one who will tell about Jesus? Amen? And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much more, thou Son of David, have mercy on me, have compassion on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was coming near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? Notice this. And he said, Lord. Now see, you think that you can't help somebody because you don't think you can tell them enough about Jesus. Just tell them what the Lord leads on your heart. All they did was say, this is Jesus. All of a sudden, the Holy Ghost reveals that Jesus is the Messiah, thou Son of David. And then, with that revelation, he grabs a host of that and he says, Jesus, you're Lord. You're Lord. You're Lord. The devil wants us to think that it's so complicated to reach the lost. He wants us to think it's impossible that you and I can do that. It's not us doing it. It's the Holy Ghost through us. So on this Mother's Day 2020, I want you to know that there's birth pangs happening. There's things happening. God is ready to birth a new thing in the earth. He's ready to write another chapter in the book of Acts. And he wants to raise up his church to reach the lost and dying world. And he's going to start right where you're at. Amen? All right. Now notice, he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight. Thy faith hath saved thee. Your faith just didn't bring healing. Come on, it brought salvation. It brought salvation. There's a lot of people out there, they have needs. And yes, Jesus wants to meet those needs. But he wants to have a fellowship with them. He wants them named into the family of God. He wants them not just to be happy for a moment, but he wants them to have joy for eternity. Amen? That's the kind of Savior he is. And so he said, according to your faith, you receive what you believed. He would have never received it if somebody hadn't told him that Jesus was going by. See the blind? I'm talking spiritually. They can't see. They would love to know what you know. They would love to have the peace that you have. Guess what? That's who you are. You're an imparter. Come on now. You're a vessel that pours out what's been poured into you. And the more that you give, the more that you receive. Amen? It's a fact. All right. Verse 43. And immediately he received what? His sight. And he followed him, he followed Jesus, glorifying God and all the people. And when they saw it, they gave praise unto God. Now, I want you and I just to get this in our heart. See, in this chapter, Jesus is going to the true city. He's going to Jerusalem, but he's going to give his life to where we can go to the real Jerusalem. Come on, that new city. That's coming down from God, 1,500 cubits, that we're going to abide there forever. That's the onward city that we're marching to. That's the true city. But Jesus here, he wants us to know that this blind man heard the message. He received his sight. He got saved, spirit, soul, and body. And he's going to follow Jesus. Jesus is going to the cross. We got to know where we're going. Jesus said, I can't be his disciple unless I pick up my cross and I follow him. So we got to know where we're going. We got to know what we're doing. And I want you to remember those three words that come up when we was praying. You've got a role, you've got a responsibility, and you've got a reward. Amen? And those three things are going to determine so much in this world by the power of God in your life, reaching the lost. But I want you to notice here, look at verse 43, and it says, and when they saw it, they gave praise unto God. See, a lot of people, they want certain people who they think they need to be saved or they need a certain divine miracle, they're all right. They want them to be saved. But you notice these same people here that are praising God at the saving of the blind man, in verse number 7, it said, and when they saw it, talking about Zacchaeus, they all murmured. Who's they? Same people. See, I don't need to get in God's business who He wants to save and who He don't. He knows. I don't know. And they all murmured, saying that He, now talking about Jesus, was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. See, we've got to be busy outside the city, but as we're going through the city and get on the other side, we've got to keep our objective. We can't let people change what God wants to do because it doesn't fit their narrative. It doesn't feel right to them. Well, there's a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof is death, right? So I don't, that's Satan, Hebrews 2:14. He's death. I don't want anything to do with that. I want the one who has life. You do too, amen? And so here they're murmuring. They're murmuring at Jesus Christ because not only did He save the blind man, but He saved Zacchaeus. Now, I love the power of this because notice it said that in verse number 5, and when Jesus came to the place, He looked up and He saw him. He saw Zacchaeus, and He said unto him, Zacchaeus. Now mark that down in your mind's eye. Hide it on the table of your heart. He said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Now, Jesus didn't know him, not in the natural, but He knew him in the spirit. And He called him by name. What did Jesus say in John chapter 10? He said, my sheep, I know them, and I call them by name. Come on now. These people are calling this man a sinner. Jesus is calling this man a sheep. Come on now. And so we got to be very careful and very cautious the label that we place on people. We need to agree with the Lord, not agree with the devil. And so here this man is, and he says, I must abide. I must live at your house. And he made haste and came down and received him. He received Jesus. He got saved joyfully. Joyfully. And all of a sudden, the same people who were so excited about one person getting saved, they get irate about the other one. All right, so what I want you to know is that there's going to be some things that you and I are going to have to stand firm on. When this great awakening, there's going to be some ways that God's going to do it, and you're going to say, I don't understand it. I wouldn't have done it that way, but I know God knows what He's doing, and I'm going to support everything that He's doing. Amen? I'm not going to get into thinking in my own direction, but I'm going to trust the Lord. I'm not going to murmur. I'm going to be joyful. Now, I want you to notice, how do we know, besides what Scripture says, how do we have the fruit that Zacchaeus got saved? Because you see, here they are murmuring. Now, notice what it says in verse 8, the Holy Ghost comes up inside of Zacchaeus immediately, and Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Now, you can look at the law, Leviticus chapter 5, Leviticus chapter 6, Book of Deuteronomy, you can look at it. He was just required to give back a percentage. And here, 20%. And here, he's giving back fourfold. Now, a fourfold return is what a sheep thief paid back. So Zacchaeus is saying here, I know, Lord, I've cost you some sheep. Come on, as the Bible said, he was the chief of the publicans. In other words, he was the guy, he had people under him, and he sent them out to not just get taxes from the people, but to rob the people. And if you want to pay me a little extra on the side, I'll take care of what you are supposed to pay, and I'll write down something else. All of these things we've all been a part of this world. We know how it works. We know the system of this world and how it's hurt a lot of people. Come on. But here, Zacchaeus stands up and he says, I don't care. The Bible said he was very rich. But all of a sudden, he saw his true riches. His true riches wasn't in what he possessed in this world, but his true riches was what he possessed in his spirit, Jesus. Amen? All right. Now, Jesus makes this statement. He said, this day, verse 9, this day is salvation come to this house. For as he also is a son of Abraham. Galatians 3:7, Paul said that when you and I become of the household of faith, we're the children of Abraham. Amen? So just further pointing to the reality of salvation in Zacchaeus' life. So the outside the city, we've got to do the works of the Lord. What I'm saying is, you and I have got to be ready to save somebody outside, to where somebody inside the city can what? They can come to salvation. Do you realize by the Spirit of God today how many people are on their way to hell that go to church every Sunday morning, but they have not had a born-again experience? They just went all their life because they were brought there when they were a child, and they don't know the one who can wash you in His own blood and can give you a brand new spirit. Amen? It's critical that you and I stop looking at the outside, and we look by the inside, and we say, Lord God, how can I reach this person for Your glory, that they may in turn, come on, this provoked them inside then to change everything. Zacchaeus would have never been saved. He would have been right. He was part of the tribe. Come on, he's in the tribes of Israel. He's there, but it doesn't matter. He's lost as a goose. But because God chose to go outside and to save somebody, what did it do? Why did he run to see Jesus? Because he saw that blind man. Amen. Come on, every day he saw him begging. Now all of a sudden he sees the blind man with his hands raised up, his eyes looking up. He sees his eyes that once were covered opaque, and now they're clear and bright. And he says, I know that this Jesus is real. Come on, you and I have got to believe that God's going to touch those on the outside, and when he does, it's going to make a great move on the prodigals. It's going to change their life. But we've got to be ready. We've got to be willing. And we've got to know that by the Holy Ghost we're able. Amen? All right. Now, so we see here, we see role, we see responsibility. See, you've got a role. Today we're talking about mothers, but we're talking about the church as a mother. You have a role today, and with every role, there is an anointing to fulfill that role, and that anointing comes on you because you've got a heavy responsibility. But in that responsibility, because you're going to be faithful to it, and you're not going to trust in yourself, but you're going to trust in the Lord, there's a great reward. See, Jesus is on His way. Now I want you to see what happens here. Notice that when Jesus told him in verse 9 that salvation had come to Zacchaeus' house, look what happens. Because Jesus said in verse 10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Now notice verse 11. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable because he was nigh to Jerusalem. He's 18 miles from Jerusalem. He's 6 miles from the Dead Sea. Come on, 18 is bondage. 6 is the number of man. So you got the completion of the number of the weakness of man that brings complete bondage that only Jesus can deliver from. Amen? All right, so here he is. And it says, when they heard these things, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. Now I want you to listen to that. All of a sudden, those people who murmured, those people who rejoiced, come with the same group, They rejoice first, then they murmur. Now, because they see Jesus saying that the one that they hated the most could be saved, the one that was a thief, that he could be saved and forever changed, now they're looking for the kingdom of heaven. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Come on now. And all of a sudden, they're so convinced that the kingdom of heaven, they know that it's come nigh unto them and it's working right amongst them, that they think that Jesus is going to fulfill all things at that moment. And so he's got to tell them this. He said in verse number 12, and there was a certain nobleman that went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. He's talking about himself. Amen? That's Jesus. You know this story. He gives his servants, Matthew calls it talents. Here, it's minia in the Greek, but it's called pounds. He gives 1 10, 1 5, 1 1. You know the story. But anyway, two of them reproduce. They have great reward. Role, responsibility, reward. I got to stay up here, but I'd just love to grab each one of you, lay my hand right on top of your head, because I want you to know there is such an anointing for soul winning. There is a new outpouring of the Spirit of God to reach those who are unreachable, and there's going to be a great reward. Yes, thank God for what we're going to have in eternity, but I'm talking about the reward of seeing souls saved right now. Notice, he gives them these pounds. He gives each one of them, look there in verse number 13, he says, he gives them, he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds. Okay, this is about a four-month wage. Now, immediately when I read that, the Holy Ghost said, what did Jesus say in John chapter 4? And my mind, I went through the chapter, my mind went, verse 35, Jesus said, don't look and say 4 months unto the harvest. Because if you and I are always waiting for the harvest, come on, revival's now, awakening's now, harvest is now. We're not waiting for it. We're in the middle of it right now. We're in the midst of it. Amen. You and I, we believe that it's right now. Our reward is not when Jesus comes back alone. Our reward is that we're going to see people saved by the revelation of Jesus. That's what's in you right now. The presence of God, the power of God, the love of God is in you, is in His church. Amen. And we're going to what? We're going to double what He has brought into us because we're going to succeed. We're not going to fail. Come on, you have an anointing to fulfill the will and the plan of God. All right. So the whole thing that you and I need to take home this morning is that we've got to be looking for that one person that we can just tell Jesus is here. See, because Jesus hadn't left. He abides in you. He said He would abide within you for. So everywhere you go, you take Jesus with you. So you tell people that Jesus is passing by, because He is. Amen? See, we've got so confused that we think that salvation is just of the church. No, the church is for you and I to gather together and worship God. We got to go. Amen? We got to go. So in this chapter, Jesus, he goes all the way to Jerusalem. As he gets to Jerusalem, he sends two of his disciples and said, I want you to go get a colt and I want you to loose it because the master have need of it. Jesus has some needs this morning and they're out in this world and they're bound. Come on, they've never been ridden. In other words, they've never known Jesus. And it's time for you and I to go. And if anybody says anything, we say the Lord has need of them. Come on. And they won't say a word. Come on, it's time. It's time. Expectancy. Believe. Believe. I believe in my role. I believe in my responsibility. And I believe that I'm going to be rewarded. I'm going to see souls saved. Amen? Hallelujah. I want to close with two verses. We're Matthew 24:44. Matthew 24:44, Jesus says, therefore be you also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Revelation chapter 22. I want you to think about the reward. Verse number 12, Revelation 22:12. And behold, this is red letter, Jesus talking. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward, mark it down, my reward is with me to give every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, according as his work shall be. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me. Jesus, see, when you and I are used by the Lord to see somebody saved, they're entrusted forever. And Jesus is going to bring them back with Him. We're going to have what God wanted originally. Yeah. Amen? Come on now. He wanted heaven on earth. We're going to have that, but it's going to be even greater than we've ever understood. Because the Scripture gives us small glimpses that we glean from, but it's going to be amazing. I wrote this down. I want you to take this home with you. A man once said, earth for work, heaven for wages. Earth for work, heaven for wages. This temporal life for the battle, eternal life for the crown. Time for employment, mark this down. Time for employment, eternity for enjoyment. Time for employment, eternity for enjoyment. Always remember, they that deny themselves for Christ shall enjoy themselves in Christ. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we ask you right now, Father God, that you'll just burn inside of our bellies, inside of our spirit, your spirit in our spirit, this reality of what you're fixing to do in us and through us. Lord, help us stop looking for something to come and let us receive and accept what you have for us right now. Lord, let us see that today is the day of salvation. And if any person will hearken and hear your voice, you said that you would work and bring salvation in our lives, through our lives, in a way that we so desperately desire, in a way that only someone who has tasted salvation can give to somebody else. Lord, since we've experienced you as Savior, we have the ability to give you out as Savior. So let it be our desire, let it be our goal, let it be our destiny on this Mother's Day 2020, that like never before, you use us for your glory, Father. Let it be. We ask you in the name of Jesus, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Who needs prayer? I know we can't come up here, but I'll come to you. Anybody need prayer? Yes, sir.